5, the podcast for nerdappropriate.com. We are all here. Ash is back from PAX.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Thank you, gentlemen.
How you doing?
No PAX box yet.
Yeah, you say yet. You had a much delayed one when we went.
I did. I've been taking a lot of vitamins. I actually
sanitize all of your controllers and headsets.
Like literally every day. Once I got there, I took like a boiling hot Silkwood shower and like curled in a ball. In the morning, I would take a boiling hot Silkwood shower. And then as soon as I walked in the door at the end of PAX, I would take one. And I drank 2 glasses of Airborne every single day.
Jesus.
So I went in like basically prepared for combat this time because it fucked me up bad last time. And yeah, I didn't want that to happen. So.
Wow. That's quite an intake.
You know, I'm really tired of going to these conventions, and then a week later, it's like your punishment for having fun. It's like, and now you're freaking sick for a week, like barfing up mucus and stuff. Oh, so, yeah. So far, so good.
It's quite the exchange of germs amongst many controllers.
And then, you know, the flight from East Coast to West Coast is like 72 days.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, you're breathing in like little kid farts. for a couple days, you're like, oh, there's no escaping this.
That sounds like an air quality rating that needs to be implemented on airplanes.
Yeah, I think you should just basically when you fly, you should get your own bubble that you crawl inside of. I would pay first class prices if I could sit in a bubble,
like a cone of silence.
Yeah, just like don't. Oh.
Hi. Sorry, that was gonna annoy me for the rest of the podcast.
Hi. Oh, it's okay. My mic was a little bit low, so Matt fixed it for me. But yeah, so anyway, so
right
far
while
so
he's
good.
Talking in his face. That was like Melissa does this to me all the time, and I yell at her for it. She'll clean stuff off my face, but without any warning whatsoever. So it's just like hand in face. And you're
yeah.
Like, Jesus, what are you doing?
It's like animalistic grooming.
Like, sorry. Anyways,
getting that dingleberry off the backside. Oh, it's all right. No, but anyway, so yeah, I'm back and not sick thus far, so that's good.
Good. Good. Good. Good. How's your beard?
It's a win. It's not as itchy. Not as itchy as
I
it
think
was
that'll
last
go
week.
Down as one of my favorite moments on a podcast ever.
I just totally zoned out, I think. I was listening. I was waiting to jump into the conversation. I was just kind of like, yeah. Nice.
That was a fun podcast. Yeah. So what have you guys been doing? What's been going on in my absence?
Work has been crazy still for me, but this is I think I've launched said website that we'd been working on for a very long time.
So good, awesome.
That's done. But I've been watching Dead Like Me, is that what it's called? Yeah, I've been watching that series.
It's a good show.
It's really good.
I like it.
It was one of those I missed it. I actually had Showtime when it was on.
Yeah.
Back in the great old college days. And and now it's on Netflix, and I was like, oh, I'm going to watch something new. It's like I need shows that I can just kind of watch 3, 4, 5 episodes without really thinking about it.
Yeah.
It's a clever show.
Yeah. So it's cool.
A lot of cool Final Destination style deaths with the reapings, you know?
Yeah. A lot of cool deaths. And then I really like the actors. Like, the way they all play, because they're all like from different eras of times. So
right.
There's like the 80s girl and then like the 40s actress, you know, and the Rube, wherever I think he's from like the 1700s for all I know. But
something like that.
Do you find out eventually or no?
Yeah, you find out a little bit of his origins.
Yeah. But they
did a movie at the end too.
It's on Netflix too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, the whole thing. So I'm gonna finish it out. I got tons of shit. I've only seen like
13 awesome, of them. Awesome.
What about you, buddy?
Scotty.
Well, I started playing Deus Ex, and we can possibly talk about that later.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
good.
It is good.
I picked it up yesterday. I haven't put it in yet.
It is a good game.
I'm gonna pick it up this week.
Sweet.
Fantastic. I think you would like it as a Splinter Cell fan.
Yeah.
And
a Fallout fan.
And a Fallout fan.
Well, you guys said on the podcast, which I listened to that I wasn't on, that you said Blade Runner meets Mass Effect, and my pants exploded.
I feel like that's kind of a fair
yeah. So I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, man.
I'm not the biggest Blade Runner fan, but I love the art design of Blade Runner. So.
Oh, if that's what you like, the environments are like amazing.
Yeah.
And then... you know, because we cut the cord, I don't have cable anymore. I have also been looking for things to watch on Netflix. So I actually went in the Wayback Machine and I started watching Stargate.
No way.
Did you?
Yeah, because I never really picked up the series when it was on Sci-Fi.
And there's 45 seasons, so you can typically watch it until you are like 90 years old.
I think there's 10 seasons of the original Stargate series, and then there's like the other 2 or 3.
There's like Atlantis.
That really fits your like milieu.
It's in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, because I remember you used to love like Sliders and Quantum Leap, and like you're into those sci-fi shows that, you know, that fits your
like
it's alternate
universe kind of shows. Yeah. So I think that's just about it. I know you just got back, but what have you been up to this week?
This week has been freaking nuts because
you're ramped up again too, right?
Yeah, I got back and basically took a nap, and then I went back to work. And I've been working.
What time did you land? You landed Monday.
I landed in the morning, but then I fell asleep for a couple hours, and when I got home, my cable was out, so I had to call the cable company.
Bummer.
And wait for the cable guy. So I didn't really get to sleep. And then as soon as the cable guy left, my mom showed up for a one night visit. So it was just like, what the hell? And then after that, I basically went to work nonstop. And then I had parent teacher night.
Oh, no.
So I was at work for like 16 hours.
Oh, my God.
Was that yesterday? It was the day before yesterday. And so this morning was the first morning I've had to like sleep. Go to the bathroom. Yeah. I've just been storing it, you know.
You get a 2-hour break. Go.
Yeah, but I've been surviving. I think the caffeine's helping me stay alive.
Excellent.
It's pickling me. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. It's a jam-packed episode of Rated NA.
We're gonna try and get it in that hour and a half mark.
Yeah, we'll go fast. Micro Machines fast. We got AT&T Talk, Star Wars Blu-ray, Team Bondi and their terrible fate. We're going to talk a bit about PAX. We're going to review Deus Ex a little bit more. Scott's going to go into his feelings about it, talking also about the Assassin's Creed multiplayer beta, which I don't know how much we're allowed to technically talk about, but we're going to try and talk about it. Little indie film called Homecoming.
That you were in.
I was in with my acting debut where I did nothing at all. Justice League number one for the Big 52. And Captain America, Limitless, Adjustment Bureau, everything
it's like
Matt has been doing.
Review.
Yes, recap review of everything Matt has been up to.
It's kind of like the summer of Netflix still, right?
Well, it's just, they like honestly, they're older stuff that normally I would just be like, oh, we're just not going to talk about it. But to me, the reason I kind of want to talk about it is because they were all surprises. Like, they were all
It's awesome.
A lot better than I expected any of them to be.
Yeah, exactly. And we also have, we are going to do our open thread and talk about Twitter question, which was what franchises deserve to make a big comeback, and we have actually a lot of really great responses from you guys, so we appreciate that. And as you know, every week we're going to try and do this, so you can always send your answer to our questions to @nerdappropriate
at
Twitter.
It's our form of a hashtag, since we know we can't trend.
Yeah, no trending. So just add us, and we'll we'll read that.
Hold on. Hey, there was no break there.
Yep, we're still going.
We're still going. So let's get into the news. All right, so
let's talk about Star Wars.
Let's talk about Star Wars. So am I the only one who has heard or watched any of this?
I've heard mutterings, perhaps on other podcasts, but I didn't really tune in, so I'm kind of eager to hear about this.
Well, the Blu-ray release is around the corner, right?
I think it's. I know it's in September,
holiday, right?
I think it's like within the next week or two.
Yeah,
something like that.
It's crazy.
So, Blu-ray release of all 6 Star Wars movies coming out together on Blu-ray in glorious high def. And George Lucas has decided again to make some improvements.
Some tweaks. Some tweaks. All right. Let's hear what these are.
Well, I'm actually going to play. No, I'll edit this little chunk out because I don't think you're going to hear it over the headphone, over the podcast. But I am actually going to play. Is this all right? You okay with this?
It doesn't bother me at all. I don't care.
This scene, let me set this up for you.
Oh, God.
Darth Vader is watching the Emperor fry Luke with his electric force power.
Leave my son alone. I love him. Give him a hug from me, Emperor Palpatine.
And after
is that what happens?
You're close. During the movie, the original, Darth Vader is just kind of staring. And then he looks at Luke, and then he looks back at the Emperor, and then he walks over silently, picks up the Emperor, struggles with him, and then throws him over the edge.
One of the most iconic scenes in film history.
Mm-hmm. All right.
What is Lucas's fascination with that homoerotic Vader? No.
No.
I was talking to Ryan about it. I was like, do you think he just copied and pasted from the third movie?
Oh, my gosh. That blows my mind. I'm actually really actually surprised at that, because that scene was perfect like it was.
It was perfect. Yeah, yeah, it's kind of...
He wouldn't have said
it's,
shit.
It's weird because...
I think they edited a head turn in, too. I might be wrong, but he like kind of does like a double take when he says it.
Things are changed in these movies that aren't like... They're like weird things. They're like, it's like he's poking at you with a stick.
Let's talk about the weird things that got changed.
Yeah.
Wicket? Right?
Yeah.
Everybody loves Wicket.
Well, I don't know about loves, but okay.
He's a character in the film.
Yeah.
He has CG eyelids.
What?
He well, blinks now.
What?
It's like stuff you never think about he or just care blinks. About. Who cares about that?
He's sitting with Princess Leia and he blinks three times.
Interesting. No
there's a scene where R2 is in the cave in Tatooine, and he's like rolling out, right? I think it's Tatooine. But anyways, he's in a cave. It's like a sandy rock cave.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's rolling out of it. They CG painted a rock in front of him so like, that you see like half of him, and then he like rolls around it.
Oh, just to give it a little foreground.
Yeah, is this, I mean, is this for like for purposes of 3D or something?
I have
like,
no idea. I don't understand those change. This change is obviously because he felt like somehow the scene was wrong.
Yeah,
and he needed and the character needed a voice.
The Vader needed some sort of dialogue.
Because fans are so unhappy with Return of the
and
Jedi.
And it doesn't even sound. Is that James Earl Jones? It doesn't sound like.
It sounds like him.
Does it?
It sounds just like the Episode 3 scene.
Yeah,
that everyone really loved.
Yeah, and then. I think that's those are the three ones that I heard about, but this is all confirmed too.
Yeah,
maybe George Lucas just wants to see a whole new slew of funny internet YouTube videos that use that clip for other purposes.
I have no idea.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, and it's funny because he still, you know, has basic complete creative control over all, you know, even Clone Wars and everything. Like the Clone Wars guys, like Dave Filoni and the guys that run Clone Wars, have to run everything by him. They'll have like a character and they'll be like, we want this character to be named Darth, we'll just say Darth Grumblock. And he'll be like, no, I don't like Grumblock. It's Grumblock O. And they'll be like, okay, it's Grumblock O. I mean, they can't, you know, there's certain things that
I guess that's what's weird to me is that, because I get tired of it. Like, people are like, he's pissing on my childhood. Like, that annoys me. I'm like, come on, man. But what it does bother me is just, like, it just seems nonsensical. Like, it doesn't bother me that it's ruining my childhood memory. It bothers me that I don't understand the like, there is seemingly no reason to add the word no into that scene.
Yeah, yeah. No,
it's
agree.
Not like everybody was like, I wonder what he's thinking while he's doing that. Like, it's pretty, like,
like, you maybe he has this vision 20 years from now. He'll just, like, open up the doors from his cottage and step outside and be like, these films are finished! Finally!
Yeah. Who knows?
They're put out on...
Holodeck.
Holodeck.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that.
So just moving right through because we have a ton of stuff to talk about.
We do.
Team Bondi's dead. Gone.
It's ridiculous.
I heard they were slave drivers.
So there's been debate about that because... The people who complained were Australian, and Australians' work schedule is not quite like a U.S. gaming company work schedule.
I see.
And from what I understand, it was less that they were slave drivers and more that they pretty much acted like any other game company in the world.
In the States, yeah.
And it's just not, that's just not how people work in Australia. You know what I mean? It's just not what a work schedule is in Australia, so.
Yeah, from what I understand, though, like Team Bondi was essentially in crunch time for L.A. Noire for years. Whereas crunch time in, you know, most games is much, much less than that.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah, and crunch time means that, you know, you don't really get vacation. You are basically working overtime every day.
You don't see your family.
You don't see your family, and you are just working pretty much your ass off. So it's a shame that this studio's gone. I'm kind of wondering what is happening to the personnel in the studio. I haven't really checked it out yet, but it's kind of sucky for them.
Do you think this really means anything for L.A. Noire, though?
Well, I mean, here's the deal. The technology behind L.A. Noire, I think, was the main, you know, glistening gem behind the game. But I don't know. I think, like, it might lose a little bit of its soul if it's just kind of like, you know, if Rockstar just takes it over
see,
and they
that,
do it. And
I guess that's what my question is Do you think Team Bondi put the soul into this game, or do you think Rockstar put the soul into this game?
I really have no idea. Yeah. That's a really good question.
Because I think Rockstar...
The story feels like a Rockstar story.
Like, I feel like Rockstar probably took what was originally awesome technology, and they said, that's awesome, we love the idea, we love what you guys are doing, now we're going to make a game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like Rockstar is the one who can guide that into... what it became.
That's true.
And it's funny that you took the humanistic approach and you're like, I wonder what's going to happen to the people that worked at Team Bondi. And I was like, in my head, I'm like, I wonder what they're going to do with that technology. the facial motion capture.
Man, we started watching Mad Men too this week. We only watched one episode, but the dude who is the lead in the LA Noir is in Mad Men.
Cole Fox. Oh, really?
And I, like, the first, like, 15 minutes, I was staring at him. I was like, how do I know this guy? Who is he? And then he said something and moved, and it looked exact. I was like, oh my God, LA Noir. He's the lead guy from LA Noir. That looks exactly like him.
Awesome.
That's so weird. It's so weird. That's terrible for Team Bondi. So we'll see. I mean, that kind of begs a question, and not to start like a big debate, but, you know, 343 is taking over for Halo, for Bungie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
Bungie announced their first project too.
Did they? Is it
or some kind of project that came out of Bungie?
I don't know. But
I'm just going to say that.
But either way.
I'm going to say unfounded fact.
But either way, it's going to be weird to see, like, do the studios make up the souls of these games, or is the actual IP, like, you know, the actual content, what makes the game, or is it the guys that make the games? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a hard question.
Yeah, and I feel like kind of when these big studios bust up, when these game companies bust up, I mean, it's not like that talent. I mean, some of them obviously may get out of gaming forever and never go back.
Yeah.
But I feel like the truly driven people, the people who create that amazing technology and create the amazing games, will be somewhere. They're going to end up in either another, they're either going to start their own thing and maybe it becomes even better, or they end up at another studio. Like,
Yeah.
I don't feel like that the gaming community is so overstuffed that talent doesn't have somewhere to go after these things happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it probably isn't fun, and it's probably going to suck for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right.
So, Ash, you're back from PAX.
I am.
Writing a lot of stuff for the website.
Yeah. I'm still in the process of writing a whole lot of stuff. I got backlogged.
Gotten tons of different kinds of comments.
Yeah. It was sort of divided in the middle. And I'm just going to start off and say the first thing that really got a bit of negative buzz, literally the first thing I played when I got there, we had an appointment with Skyrim for Bethesda. And I played it and I really enjoyed it. I did a write-up, and my write-up was called How I Suck at Skyrim. And I really did. I was fucking terrible at it. Like, I played for maybe 25 minutes. I'm not going to lie. The game hard-locked and crashed twice. So it didn't really give me too much of an opportunity to get
into... But you're also playing a not even beta.
Like. Yeah. And I'm not faulting the game for that. I'm just saying, like, you know, people jumped on some of the stuff I said. And we're like, oh, you're just, you know, you're a fucking idiot because you don't know how to play. Like, you don't understand the system behind. I'm like, dude, it's a brand new system. Obviously, you don't know how to play it either because you probably haven't fucking played it. And beyond that, I had two different sessions with two different characters, and I had to basically learn how to use those characters within about 7 minutes each. So it's like, you know, I was running around and doing stuff, but I sure as hell wasn't good at it, you know? So that's basically what I wrote about. And
I really thought the headline of your article sort of encapsulated your knowledge of the game, you know, like your experiences or whatever.
Yeah. So
you can't be faulted for that.
The internet always amazes.
Oh, it does. It does. And so some people were angry that I didn't know the name of the Catmen, who are like the...
you're just going to keep that one going, aren't you?
The Kakalakas or something like that.
And then you discover that there are passionate Elder Scrolls fans. In the
You know, and that is great. Good. I'm glad. I like Elder Scrolls.
I'm going to move over to the next one because if people want to know about OnLive, just go read the article. I think
there you go.
I think you wrote a good enough article
Thank you so very much.
Talked about.
Yes.
I do want to hear briefly about Gotham City Impostors.
Okay. 1 minute review is I was absolutely impressed and kind of surprised by Gotham City Impostors.
Like, what is it? I'm confused because there's a Batman game coming out, and now like this is coming out.
It's a class-based multiplayer shooter based in the Batman universe where there's two gangs. There's the Bats and there's the Jokers.
Oh.
And two gangs.
The
Bats and the Jokers. And they're if you remember in the latest Nolan Batman movie, there's the guys that dress up like Batman. Killed by, you know, Joker. So basically you're playing as, like, if you're playing as the Bats, you're playing as one of those guys. And so basically you're out fighting crime, but you have, like, machine guns.
So they
and
took,
like,
a 5-minute scene out of a movie and turned it into a game.
Yeah, pretty much. That's and crazy. And as the Jokers, you're playing as a member of the Joker gang.
Yeah.
And
that's cool.
The thing that's cool about it is there's all sorts of different gadgets. And so, like, if you're playing as one of the Jokers, for example, you'll have, like, a grappling hook or, like, invisibility spray. And then you can tweak out your character and, like, basically give yourself a different set of abilities and weapons. And then it's just multiplayer matches for different, you know, different objectives and things like
that. Is this going to be a disc game? Or
no, it's a downloadable title. Yeah,
That's cool.
PS3 and Xbox Live. And it was actually really fun. We had a good time playing it. So.
And this game is made by Monolith.
It is made by Monolith.
Oh, really?
I'm gonna bring it back to this a little bit later with Monolith. So okay. I just want to point that out.
Yeah, it's being published, obviously, by Warner Brothers. And they had a pretty big presence there at PAX. And so it was fun. I was surprised. I wasn't expecting to like it at all. But I actually had a good time. We did 4-on-4 multiplayer, basically like more sort of like a capture and hold sort of scenario, and it was fun.
What is Red Robot's Life of Crime, sir?
Okay, so Red Robot's Life of Crime was a mobile game right now just for Android that literally just came out.
Yeah.
I know, and it actually looked really awesome. I did an interview with those guys, and it it's crazy. It's a location-based multiplayer game, so it's sort of like uses the same technology.
I'm on my phone right now.
I know, of check-ins and things of that nature, but let's say, like, you went to Starbucks. You would go to Starbucks, and with Life of Crime, what you would do is you actually have a character, and you get gear and equipment, right? But you would
life
go to the...
Life is crime.
A life is crime. You would actually go and rob that Starbucks, and then you get loot and things of that nature when you check in. And you can battle other players that have gone to that Starbucks. So it actually uses your actual geographic location on the planet. And it actually uses...
so it's like a tweak on the Foursquare Mayor model.
It's like Foursquare Mayor model with, like, death and crime and weapons.
That's
so
cool.
It was really rad. I really actually liked it a lot.
I'm downloading as we speak.
Awesome. And it looked like a lot of fun. And actually, they built their whole system for it. They did all their own maps, all their own graphics, and... it launched, I think, literally last week, so it's still really, really
new. You did
really
an interview
cool.
with him, you said?
I did, yeah. I have it all on audio.
I'll play for a while, and we'll combine an article of interview and review.
Yeah, that would be great. They'd probably really dig that, because I've been meaning to write that, but I've been behind.
I'd like to hear about Torchlight 2.
Okay, cool. Torchlight 2.
You played the one on Xbox Arcade, right?
I did. I played
sitting in my Steam account.
Right? I played on PC, yeah.
Yeah, Torchlight 2 is a lot of fun. What I noticed, first of all, is I played the multiplayer.
You got to play with other people.
I got to play with other people in the same world, and it's pretty crazy. It's pretty much the single-player experience. You have free reign. You can go anywhere on, like, a wide-open map this time, as opposed to being stuck in the town of Torchlight.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a massive map with different cities and things of that nature. I went out into, like, this desert wasteland, and it was just kind of exploring and fighting. And there were other players out there running around and exploring, fighting as well. So we were all, it was almost an MMO type feel.
I mean, was it cooperative or?
Well, I mean, it would have been had I known the people I was playing with. But since they were total strangers playing, you know, it wasn't a versus type thing. So it was definitely co-op.
Was that PvP?
No, it wasn't PvP.
Is it multiplayer in the sense of, like, you know, like what Diablo used to be, where it's just kind of like a handful of players go down the dungeon together, like four people or something?
Yeah,
like
so it's not an MMO. It's probably, you know, four max.
That's awesome.
I played as the new, I'm blanking on the name of the character I played, but he was basically like a steam knight. So he could build turrets and robots.
That's
and
cool.
He carried around like a giant, like John Henry style, a mallet. And he had like an Iron Man type suit, like that was steam powered.
I think there was a companion that you could cast, that you could summon in the previous one.
Yeah,
like
the alchemist could. Yeah, steam golem. So
it sounds like the steam knight is similar to the
he is
goal.
And that's not really the character's name, so I apologize for forgetting it right now, but I'm tired. So but Torchlight 2 was a lot of fun. Graphically it was a lot better. You felt like your character's attacks had a little bit more weight and a little bit more impact, like when, you know, you actually, your mallet collided with the enemy, looked like there's a little bit better hit detection and a little less spammy, like there was actually a little bit more skill to it, as opposed to just like spamming your biggest attack until you're out of energy.
What did you play as in Torchlight 1? Because I think my experience may have been different from
yours. I played as the alchemist, and as an alchemist, strictly like a summoner.
Yeah, that's what I did too. So, like, did in you? Terms of like getting up to an enemy to hit them with a staff, like I really just hung back and
cast his stuff. Spells. Yeah,
and I used companions a lot too, so it wasn't really me.
Yeah, I used tons of companions. I had like I would basically summon like a legion of stuff in the first
like
game.
You had dogs and like two golems, and then like something else, and just you were like,
yeah. And I did like the skeletons and stuff too.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. Lots of skeletons and archers.
So, X-Men Destiny, good or bad? We don't have to go long into this one.
X-Men Destiny. Okay, so. There are a couple issues with this. It has the capacity to be really awesome. Mm-hmm. My problem was the combat felt a little bit dated. Like it's a brawler essentially. You know, there is leveling up. There is a little bit of a skill accolation and things like that. So you have a chance to tweak out your character. You can choose. You don't get to actually make your own character.
That's what this game was marketed as like a long time ago, correct?
Yeah, you don't
like you can make whatever mutant you want. And now it turns out there's just three characters, right?
I think okay, from what I understand, so you can choose between three different characters, right? And it's basically three different characters. Each one has their own origin and their own like backstory. But then you can apply three different mutant like archetypes to them. So there's one who is like density manipulation. So, you know, can make their skin into rock, can make themselves lighter, things like that. One that has abilities, it seems like, similar to Nightcrawler, very, very fast, kind of ninja-like, look like teleportation and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then one kind of energy zapper type Jubilee sort of character. And you can move those abilities to any of the three character or character models.
Right.
Then, from what I understand, as you encounter other mutants in the game, you can get like chunks of their DNA and like apply it to yourself. So like, let's say for instance, you fight Cyclops, you might be able to like steal his eye beams or something, which I don't really necessarily get.
But there is customization, but not like maybe what we were led to believe. Yeah. Originally.
What makes this an X-Men game then?
Okay. So what makes it an X-Men game?
Cause that is baffling otherwise.
Yeah. So you exist in the X-Men universe. It takes place, place chronologically right before they move to San Francisco, which some of you X-Men fans may understand.
It's after everything that's happened, but before the mutant, before House of M.
Yeah, I guess. I guess Professor X is supposed to be dead.
He's dead.
And,
no, that would be post House of M, pre New Genesis and all this other stuff going on.
Yeah. I haven't read it in a couple years, but,
A lot of
messed up stuff. Yeah. So, but you are a new mutant who's kind of thrust into the world. And so the demo I played was about a half an hour long. I had encounters with Cyclops and Toad and Emma Frost.
Was this the world where everybody's trying to hunt mutants essentially? And there's only like 50 left, or is it 200 left or whatever?
I couldn't tell.
Or did they not really?
I couldn't tell. All I know is there was a rally. Brotherhood of Evil Mutants attacks the rally. Stuff explodes. And you're kind of running around this fiery apocalypse. It has a lot of potential. And in Silicon Knights used to make some really, really great stuff.
Yeah.
And
that's true. Yeah.
They used to make some really, really great stuff. So I'm hoping by the time it comes out, there's some polish added to the combat system.
I'm kind of wondering if Marvel's getting their attention split too thin, because they're working on an MMO too.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully it's good. Let's move to the panels. How was the other S this time around?
It was good. It felt shorter. Wasn't quite the crowd of the first Other Us panel at PAX East. But for those that are listening that don't know what we're talking about, the Other Us is a panel that is all about sort of gender equality in gaming and how the game
literally could only take place at PAX.
Yeah. And it's really cool. Like Matt and I both were kind of blown away by the first panel just simply because of the level of honesty and openness of a lot of the people that came to the mic. A lot of people had some really crazy stories about, you know, how they've been treated by other gamers and how, you know, as either a homosexual gamer or a transgender gamer or a female gamer, how they are not regarded in the same, you know, light as male gamers. Heterosexual male gamers. So, this was the follow-up to that panel. Eric Pope didn't show up because he...
I heard he had the plague or something. He was tweeting the most brutal stuff. I was like, Jesus, yeah. He went to the hospital like one day in or something?
Yeah, he had some sort of like sinus thing just from reading his Twitter feed. And for those that don't know, Eric Pope, he's the
head of community for Harmonix.
Yeah, Harmonix. I don't know if he's a CM. I don't know. He works for Harmonix and he does a lot of community stuff. And he was really funny on the first Other Us panel.
Yeah.
And on this panel, he just didn't show up. And I was like, oh, where is the guy? And he was in the hospital.
Yeah. And he was then, literally, because I remember I was like, PAX started. And he's like, well, day one, PAX in the hospital. And I was like,
what the hell? And I think like he got stuck in Seattle for like 4 or 5 days.
I think he had a bad trip.
I don't know. But and also Allison Thresher, who was the moderator for the first Other Us panel. And it was her idea for the panel. She couldn't show up because she's actually in crunch for Dance Central 2.
Right.
So the panel this time was moderated by Abby Heppy, and she did a really good job and fielded some pretty good questions. But, you know, I'm going to do a proper write-up on the site. But the panel was really solid, and it's good to, you know, go to panels that are about serious topics where, you know, gamers can talk about community, what makes up community, and you know, what makes gaming kind of a special hobby.
So how about the costume non-contest then?
The costume non-contest. So yeah, this was late, I want to say Friday night. And we talk about Crabcat.
You posted some pictures, right? You
put it. Yeah, right? I posted a couple pictures. It was cool. You got to see all the Crabcat costumes that they made. You got to see the audio animatronic grunt that they made. And they had a massive, massive turnout. Over 54 costumes showed up, which was huge. Yeah, and it was called a non-contest because there wasn't like a winner. They did something that I thought was hilarious. They just paraded everybody through one at a time, and then they would make up a winning title for every single costume. So it would be like one was like biggest staff, and one would be like... you know, biggest booty shorts, or, you know, it's just like every single person that came through had got their own prize.
That's cool.
And it was really like non-competitive, just a really cool sense of community. And a lot of the BioWare staff was there just hanging out because Crabcat has a pretty tight relationship with them. So really positive, fun panel. Nice way to end a night, you know, so it was cool.
And then last thing, we'll just do like a minute run through of all the Resident Evil stuff you saw.
Okay, yeah, minute run through. Played Revelations on the...
this is the one save game, right?
That's Mercenaries. Revelations is the new, it's a canon Resident Evil story starring Jill Valentine and Chris Redfield. It's in 3D. 3D didn't work for my eyes. I tried for a couple minutes.
What system?
It's for the Nintendo...
Oh, the 3DS.
Thank you. I always, 3DI, 3DGP, 3D...
I should know. I'm an official ambassador now.
Oh, okay.
For the 3DS.
Yes. Yes, so...
You're one of 10 that owns it.
For the Nintendo 3DS, I was super excited about this title because it is, you know, it is an actual new Resident Evil story. It does have Jill in it. Does have Chris in it.
Yeah.
It takes place right before Resident Evil 5 in terms of the timeline.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
So how was Raccoon City then?
All right. So Resident Evil Raccoon City, I'm actually into it. It's designed to play like Gears of War.
What is this for?
This is a downloadable, right?
No, this is actually...
I don't have any facts straight.
No, it's cool. No,
fix me.
No, Resident Evil Raccoon City is coming out for the PS3 and 360 fall, so pretty soon. It's a third-person squad-based shooter. Class-based squad-based shooter. So there's right now there's 6 different classes. They're probably going to add 7 different classes. Each one's a character, different voices. Each one has different ability sets. You are playing the role of
Umbrelli.
You're playing the role of Umbrelli. You're playing the role of Umbrelli. God, what the fuck? Umbrella Security Service. It's a tongue twister. Umbrella Security Service. And
that's okay. You're new to the whole Resident Evil thing.
Yeah, you know. Umbrella Security Service. And you actually, you're going in order to eliminate civilians and eliminate zombies during the events of Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 3. So it takes place during... So you're playing the bad guys.
So you're in this...
You're in Raccoon City, and there's all shit. There's shit going on everywhere. So the demo I played, you're basically running around with a squad. There are like special forces guys that are deployed by the government to stop you.
Like, that'd be cool if they did like scenes where you could see You other running thing. Through because.
Oh, well, in the demo I played, you see Leon and Claire.
You do?
Yeah, you see Leon and Claire, and your team's like, we got to kill Leon. And you're like chasing Leon through the streets and stuff. It's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so I liked it. Gameplay was a little loose, but I think they're going to tweak it out a bit. But I enjoyed it. It was fun. It was really late this year.
Late this year.
Yeah, really, really chaotic, but fun. Cool. I enjoyed it.
Awesome.
Did you actually get to play as Nemesis or no?
I did. I got to play as Nemesis. Really quick rundown.
Was he as fun as I thought he looked when I was
looking
at
him? He is so much fun, yeah. Dude. He's freaking colossal. So Ultimate Marvel vs. Marvel. I'm like, fucking shit.
It's all right, man. We've been making you talk for about 20 minutes straight.
Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I played as Hawkeye. I played as Nemesis.
Did you try Doctor Strange out or no?
No, I didn't.
He's the weird one.
His moveset looks insane. Yeah. Nemesis is basically just a big, heavy brawler, like on par with Hulk. A lot of throws, a lot of grabs. He's freaking huge. Yeah,
I'm looking at a screenshot.
He's gigantic.
He goes all the way up to the health bar.
He is ridiculous. His supers are awesome, and it was great. I did one round where I played as Wesker, Chris, and Nemesis, and I was totally just geeking out.
Give you a little bonus for doing that.
Yeah, so that was fun. I'm glad they added him to the game because
So overall, you've now been to a PAX East and a PAX Prime.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite?
Well, here's the deal. Seattle, the location of the actual convention hall is beautiful in Seattle. Yeah. It's literally in the heart of the city, so you can walk outside and like grab a Jimmy John's sandwich for $5.
And in Boston, it's out in the harbor.
Boston, you are like in the fucking warehouse district, and you got to walk for like half an hour before you can get to civilization, so that kind of sucked. But the conventions, I want to say, are nearly identical.
That's good.
Cool. They're a lot alike. Obviously, the content's different, but they're very similar.
This was part of what we lost last week when I did a bunch of editing on the last podcast. But we did briefly mention that PAX said they're going to open up a third location at the podcast. I predicted Austin, but you said Florida possibly too.
Oh, I think that was wishful thinking.
I heard rumblings that it's London.
No, really?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Europe? I thought they said a third in the U.S.
Oh, really? I don't. That's what the guys in Giant Bomb said that they heard. They heard rumbling.
I would.
Yeah, the Giant Bomb guys said that it might be London, but they don't know yet.
I guess that makes sense to go international to get to let other people in. That's cool. So overall, good experience.
Yeah, it was fun. That was good. I need help next time. Please go with me.
Yeah.
Will do.
It was just bad timing this year.
Please
That's all that was.
I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off.
I think conventions from now on, we need to, minimum two of us need to go to the convention to actually pull it off appropriately.
Yeah, for real.
All right, so we're going to take just a two-second break and come back, do some reviews. We're going to haul through these reviews probably too, and then do the Twitter talk, and that'll be it.
All right.
So we'll be back in just brack. We'll be back in just brack.
You've had enough of your 9-to-5, so you grab your stuff. Start to drive, 'cause tonight you will play in a new founded campaign where you don't have to think of home, just of princesses and thrones. Yes, tonight you're with friends, and until the journey ends, you are braver and stronger. Why can't this night last longer? Got the snacks, they've got the die. You roll your stacks as they get high. Roll 3 18s, your lucky night. You hope you will get in a fight. And oh, there will be blood spilled. Oh, there will be orcs killed by your. Come fast, you take them on with fiery blast. You move along, you will lie to buy a spy. You lose a friend, you wanna cry until you hear a sound in the distance that pulls you back into your own existence. Tonight you count chip bags on the floor. Your friends survive the gold you'll store. And while the DM calculates think about your player's traits. He's strong and charismatic, and he doesn't look like you. Being brave's not problematic when your AC is 22. But tonight you fight well, and you don't let yourself dwell on your burdens or your workday. How could you when there were dragons to slay?
Hey, everybody. This is so strange. Anyway, you guys just heard Ali Goritz, who the song is actually called Tonight D&D, and you can follow her at Twitter at Cosby Sweater. So look her up. Ali Goritz, Tonight,
she's
the D&D
exploding.
Song. She is.
She wrote a song about Patton Oswalt, and he tweeted it.
I know. Well, good for her. Hey-o. It's funny. And
then I think Huffington Post posted it.
Yeah.
She's literally exploding.
She deserves it. I'm really trying hard not to be a perv here. But anyway, yeah, so Ali Goritz, Tonight, the D&D song. Check it out. It's awesome. Thanks for letting us play it, Ali. We appreciate
it. Thank you for letting us have some music.
Awesome.
And honestly, anybody that listens to this podcast, if you have some music or some bumper music or something like that and you want to share it with us, you can email me at matt@nerdappropriate.com and send me a link. And if it works, it'll be in our podcast and we'll announce your name and your Twitter and stuff. It'd be cool.
Yeah.
We definitely like bumper music.
Cool.
You've heard stuff from, we have a friend named Clayton who put in bumper music. We've had Ryan. Now we've got Ali Goritz. We've got some other people that are doing
stuff. Did we play an Onomatoguchi song once?
I played Onomatoguchi once, I believe.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
So, all right. Let's jump into the reviews. Scott.
Yeah. Last week, when Derek was here, we talked a little bit about Deus Ex. I actually had a chance to...
You avoided it at that point.
Yeah. What's that?
The game.
I think I was finishing Borderlands.
Yeah, you were.
And, but I actually got a chance to get into the game. It is really good.
Yeah.
It's weird because it is very, parts of it are very similar to the original, but it's like if you could have made that original game however many years later, I think like 10 years later, 11 years later
it's
now.
10, yeah. Or 11,
I
yeah.
I think it's 2000. Yeah. It's like, what would you do? And
yeah.
So all of the things that are in games now, like a cover system, quest tracking, health regeneration, like all that stuff is in a game that, like, when you go back and play the original PC one, it seems like very esoteric and hard to follow.
Yeah. So did you run into the issues with the boss fights that pretty much everybody else had? No?
What's weird, and I think this is an indication of how much I like the game, is that I haven't reached a boss fight yet. I've probably spent maybe like 10 hours playing the game. And
wow.
I'm really just hanging out.
Do you think you're aware of the issues with the boss fights, though, and that are you preparing at all in that sense?
Well, based on what...
Do you know the issues with this game? Have you heard about it?
Just from what I heard of our podcast, which I was listening to this morning, that if you build your character in a certain way, the bosses are invincible.
Well, basically, no matter what, you have to fight a boss with a gun and kill him.
Yes,
and that's what happens. But in the game, you can make any kind of character you want, and it'll work for 90% of the game,
except for the bosses.
Boss fights.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that like you can take. I know what Derek is talking about. After I was able to review like the upgrade augmentation skill trees, I think I know what he's talking about. But it's weird because you can go through the game as a non lethal character, meaning that you stun all your enemies and you don't kill them. And B, you can play as like a total stealth character where you just avoid combat altogether.
Yeah.
So it's just weird that in a game like that, and especially in the original Deus Ex, where they actually reward you for playing stealthy, like that they would then force you into, you know, like face-to-face combat.
Yeah.
But anyways, I mean, that being said, I think it's a testament to how much I enjoy this game, to the fact that I've spent like probably 10 hours just walking around in the environments, looking at things.
Yeah.
You know, like Derek said, there's a lot of material to read if you're interested in the books and the papers and stuff.
It's awesome. Well,
that's really cool.
What I understand that Matt will probably like, that I don't know if you guys touched on, that I've been kind of hearing through the grapevine, is it's sort of set up where your enemies are almost similar to Foxhound in Metal Gear. So each enemy is almost, each boss rather,
boss fights,
is pretty like themed a certain way. So like basically you're fighting against a gang of augmented humans, and some of the achievements are even ones called I Can Read Your Mind or Mantis Power or something. So the achievements are even named after old Metal Gear characters.
I've seen a couple, I've been perusing Reddit, and two people had posted some like, you know, meme kind of image stuff,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know what I was doing with my hand, by the way.
It's like, ha-cha-cha-cha.
And one of them was like a guy who posted, like, it's a picture of him. It's a screenshot of him standing over a dead guy with his gun. And there's the email screen is up and he's reading his email. And all he says is like, oh my God, like underneath it, he wrote, oh my God, I'm a monster. And he's reading the email and it's like, hey honey, when you get done with work, please make sure you get home on time. We've got to take the kids over to blah, blah, blah. And it's like a full email from his wife from the guy awesome. He just killed on the ground.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And then the other one was like things I love about Deus Ex. And it's like a scene where he's walking back into, it's a screenshot of him walking back into a room and there's a guy he killed on the floor. He said he killed him like 15 minutes before or 20 minutes before, and there were police investigating the crime scene.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like walking around the room, like looking at stuff, picking up stuff, and checking out what was going on in the crime scene. And he was just like, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It is a pretty smart game where like it's one of those games where bodies and weapons and like inventory items, are, like if you throw something down and walk away and come back a half an hour later, it'll still be there where you threw it down.
Oh, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So like I can't wait. A persistent world.
Yeah, I can't wait for you guys to...
Yeah, I literally picked it up on my way home from work yesterday, so I have Monday off, so that is what, that yeah. is my Monday.
I was actually, Melissa's working Sunday and Monday, and I was thinking of going to get it tonight maybe to
sweet.
It's quite enjoyable.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
So Scott texted us excitedly this morning about getting into the Assassin's Creed multiplayer.
I don't know that I would use the word excitedly.
I read it excitedly.
Okay.
I read it like, oh my God, guys! Beta. Check this out, betas!
I think I've been on record on this podcast as saying that this game does not need multiplayer, but it has one anyways.
I think it's such a good, unique multiplayer.
Okay.
Though. At least they didn't just fucking jam a, like, horde mode. Like, okay. You're yeah. like, well, what the fuck?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, there is a horde mode because it's...
Oh, God, it's ruined.
It's training mode. That's what training mode was in the last game, you know? Like,
yeah, but
the,
that was, like, learn how to fight. Horde mode is like a challenge mode.
Sure, okay.
How much you can fight.
Agreed.
Yeah. I worked that out in my head somehow.
Yeah, so I you know, like you bring up a good point, and I don't know to the extent that we can actually talk about this beta, but
yeah.
I just want to say what I really want to talk about is the fact that I can't really tell what has changed.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay.
And what I really want to say about Assassin's Creed multiplayer in general is the way that people play the multiplayer game. You know, like
they don't get into it.
Yeah, like if you think about like the basic premise of playing a game is that like when you play a game, all the players of the game agree to a certain set of rules. And we play by those rules and then it makes the game fun, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of the same problem in Battlefield where it's like anytime that a shooter turns into an objective-based game, people still just run around and kill each other.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's like capture the flag, people are still killing each other. Nobody cares about the objectives.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same thing in this game. Like, they encourage you to blend in, hide behind things, like, walk slowly, act like an NPC, and then, like, you get extra points for using stealth as you, you know, assassinate your target.
Right.
But, again, in this game, I jump in, and the first thing everybody does is they start running. They run up onto the rooftops. So, yeah, I mean, like, my issue is not really with the multiplayer anymore, but it's with the way that people play it.
Right.
Because it really detracts from the fun of...
Yeah, well, I mean, the point of that multiplayer is to, like you said, blend in and become kind of the assassin, but...
I think people overlook, like, you know, they just think, like, I need to kill as many guys as possible, where, like, the actual point is, like, you gotta be, like, be cool, cat, you know, cool, like, whatever. Be cool, daddy-o.
Yeah.
You have come up with the podcast title for, like, the past 7 podcasts.
Be cool, cat.
Be cool, cat.
Yeah,
you have to kill with style.
Yeah, no,
in this
I get it.
In this multiplayer,
you hate multiplayer. I get it.
I don't like.
I'm just fucking.
Honestly, I don't hate this multiplayer anymore. Yeah. I just hate the way that a lot of people choose to play it.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I mean,
because when you're looking for your target and you look up onto the roof and you just see them running across the rooftops, you're like, oh great, like there's no way that I can stealthily kill this target.
Yeah, right. That's definitely the problem with it, and you know it. Probably is a game that maybe should have not had multiplayer, but if it does not detract from
the single player,
yeah, it doesn't detract from the single player.
I think if this continues to expand into like sort of a larger product, I think they like ultimately the creators will need to sort of impose penalties for just running and being on the rooftops, or give the assassin a way to sort of like penalize the player, you know, like if there's a thrown weapon when they're on the roof or something
like
that.
Right.
But it's fun. I mean, I can't wait to, you know, we can talk about it more when it becomes more public, but
yes, you don't want to get in trouble.
I do not. And that's why I'll just say that, it's fun, and I'm looking forward to more.
There you go.
Cool.
So, Ash, you're a big old actor now.
That's what it says.
SAG card?
That's what it says here on the SAG card, if you mean my... Anyway, so... so, yeah, it was weird. A couple years ago...
Was it a couple years?
It was a couple years. Yeah, coming up in a couple years. February.
Oh, my God. I remember that like it was nothing.
Seriously.
Where does the time go?
Seriously.
Good Lord.
Almost a couple years ago at this point.
Wow. Okay.
Maybe we should say what we're talking about.
That just blew my mind.
Yes. Well, okay. Yeah, yeah. So Christina and I was sitting there monitoring my Twitter, and I saw Bria Grant tweeted that she was in Orlando, and
of
I was like...
Of Heroes fame.
Of Heroes fame. And I was like, what are you doing in Orlando? And she actually replied to me and was nice, and she's like, I'm here making a movie. And I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, and then later on, I found out that they needed extras for the movie, and we had the weekend off, and I was like, screw it, let's go down and be extras. So we, you know, made our way over there, and they were cool enough to let us be extras in a scene during the movie.
Where you oddly played teachers, right?
We oddly played teachers, which was just kind
of
bizarro.
That must have been a
stretch. Yeah.
The movie name, by the way, is...
The movie name is called Homecoming, yeah. Directed by a guy by the name of Sean Hackett, who's a super nice dude. And we were there filming from like, I want to say 6 at night till 3 in the morning. So it was a, you know, for us just as extras, it was super long, and they had been there literally all day. So, I hadn't gotten a chance to see it literally until last night, and they had their Orlando premiere at the Central Florida Film Festival here. That's going on literally right now.
God, has it been a year since?
Yes.
Oh.
It has been a year since the last Central Florida Film Festival, which is crazy also. I finally got a chance to see it, and I was actually really blown away. I really, really dug it. And like just seeing them make it, you know, and having been on sets and stuff in the past in different capacities, it was an awesome set to be on because it was a really small crew. There was maybe like 20 folks working.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe like 15 or 20 extras, but they all got along very, very well. A lot of laughing, a lot of carrying on, you know, and just goofing around and having a great time. And then seeing how that actually translated into a really, really fun film that was, you know, shot for next to no money. What's the movie about? That's an excellent question. It's actually about a young girl who actually lives in Orlando. So that's what the whole movie is actually set in Orlando, which is kind of crazy because
he's not from Orlando.
He's not from Orlando at all. Yeah. He's actually from Kansas. So,
How
he actually just saw parts of Orlando and was like, we need to make a movie here because it's kind of a weird place. So a lot of the Orlando like iconic imagery, like the House of Wonder and like Gatorland and like all of those places kind of make cameos.
Yeah.
But she is an Orlando resident who decides right after high school, she has aspirations to be a doctor, but she ends up enlisting in the Army and becomes an Army medic. And it's all about her returning just basically for leave and seeing like where her family and where her friends are all at. So she basically has like a really close crew that she ran with in high school, and they're all still back at home for various reasons. And her mom is the school lunch lady, who's played by Colleen Camp. If you guys ever have seen Clue, if you remember Colleen Camp from Clue, who plays Babette.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So Colleen Camp is the mom who's really good in it. And it's all just about, you know, really growing up and finding where you really need to go in life. And
is it a la like Garden State, like that kind of?
Yeah, it's Garden State-esque. It's I don't want to say it's a coming of age story, but it's definitely it's a comedy. Like you know, they spend the whole movie like basically in a golf cart driving around Orlando and like doing like various acts of violence and crime and things like that. But it's really well written, really quirky, really funny. Like one of the main characters, played by a guy by the name of Tom Fox Davies. His backstory is just awesome. He, his dad brought him to Orlando during the boy band boom. So like when NSYNC and Backstreet, he's a British guy.
Yeah.
And his dad brought him to Orlando when all those bands were big and tried to, start a boy band with his son. And then when the boy band fails, his dad left him here. And so he's left behind as this like failed British boy band singer.
That's cool.
And he's trying to make his career come back to life. And then Sean Hackett, who's the director, is actually an actor in the film also. He plays a he was supposed to go to an Ivy League school, but he left because of his girlfriend basically dumped him in a terrible way. So he's kind of like this shattered guy. And it's basically like these three best friends reconnecting and trying to figure out where the hell they're going to go next.
That's cool.
And just kind of surviving.
Is it making the like the film?
Yeah, he's doing all sorts of festivals with it right now, and they won like Best in Show at the Kansas City Film Fest, and they're winning awards. I don't know how if they're going to win anything here in Orlando, but
is he hunting for distribution right now?
For distribution. So cool. Definitely, if you guys are listening to this and you're interested in movies like this, and we love indie films, definitely just like type in Homecoming Movie 2011 into Google, or you can follow, just do a Twitter search for Sean Hackett, and you can follow him on Twitter, and he'll tell you some stuff about the movie.
Does he have any like Facebook page for the movie or anything?
There is a Facebook page. You can just type in Homecoming Movie on Facebook. Yeah, and
definitely go like that or something.
Yeah, go like it and check it out. You know, it's a really, I'm really into people that are passionate about something and follow it through and make impossible things happen. And making a film, sitting, because he wrote it, he produced it, he directed it, and he acted in it. Okay. Doing that, I can't fathom that, you know, and actually shopping around to different festivals and having fun. And that to me is just awesome. So whether it's games or comics or whatever, if you're a super creative person, you know, my hat's off to you. So it was awesome. Definitely check it out. It's playing actually here all week, and he's actually going to be at a Sunday screening again here in Orlando. I know this probably won't be out in time, but for those that want to go see it, check your local indie film circuit and check out Homecoming.
Yeah, just to clarify, there is a Homecoming movie on Facebook. That is not the Homecoming movie. That's not it.
Oh, good.
But there's a fan page for the independent movie. So if you look up Homecoming Movie, and then you'll see it says Fans and Friends of Homecoming and the Independent Movie, that's the one.
And you can find it on IMDb by doing Homecoming 2011.
There you go.
Yeah, awesome.
So it was fun. I hope you guys check it out while it's here.
You're a millionaire now.
I'm a millionaire, yeah. I was an extra. I ate some combos and some coffee. That's what I made on this film. So
you just gotta wait for those residual
residual combo.
Hello,
we are all masters of the English language today.
Residuals.
All right. So today, this week was a big week for comics. I wrote a quick article about it. But the 52 for DC started this week. So in a change like I don't think I've ever seen in comics before, DC only put out two books this week. They put out Flashpoint number 5, which is the event that led into the 52, and then they put out Justice League number 1. And this is kind of a big deal. They have literally rebooted every single franchise they have. They got rid of a bunch of franchises. They have 52 books now, and it's led off by the Jim Lee drawn, which is the first one Jim Lee's done in the first ongoing series Jim Lee's done in a very, very long time, and written by Geoff Johns, who basically has made DC worthwhile, I would say, recently with the Green Lantern, Blackest Night, Brightest Day stories, with Flashpoint. He did another Flash series before Blackest Night. He's basically revitalized, I think, a lot of DC characters. I read the book.
So what'd you think? I mean, this is exciting, right?
I'm excited about it. I think this is you know, it's easy when you're really into something, and comics definitely have fans that are very into comics. You know, I mean, this is the stuff that people go to conventions and they're like, yes, in book number 47, had Spider-Man with two shoes on, but they didn't match appropriately. And then the next page, one was blue. And
yeah, like, red shirt kid.
Yeah, so like people are very passionate about this. And I think the initial reaction to it was kind of a nerd revolt. It was like, fuck DC. Why would they get rid of all of my favorite things that they've ever... And it's like, they're not getting rid of it. They're trying to... The industry, like, sad to say, is kind of dying. Like, comics are not really doing great. They're doing okay, but they're not doing horribly well. You know, they're not, like, DC's not raking in piles of cash off their comic books. Maybe off the movies that are made off the comic books, but not the comic books themselves. So I think this is interesting. It's gutsy. Justice League itself it's fun. I'm actually glad because Amy Van Schaik, who's a frequent friend of ours on the podcast, a guest, got it as well. And I Am Me was like, hey, what'd you think? Did you read it? Did you read it? And I said, yeah, I read it. What did you think? Because I kind of want to know what she thought before I said anything. And she is not a DC person, doesn't read Justice League. And I didn't read Justice League before this. Maybe like way back in the day, but not recently. And she was like, I thought it was so much fun.
Oh, good.
And I was like, really? She's like, it was funny and it was lighthearted and I had a really good time with it. She's like, whoever writes it's awesome. And it's Geoff Johns, who is awesome.
Yeah.
For me, it was a little weird because they basically reintroduce none of these. Like, Green Lantern doesn't really know Batman. Neither one of them know Superman. Like, they're meeting right now. Like, they are literally restarting Justice League. They're all,
dude, I can't.
They're all meeting each other.
I can't do that. I can't do it.
So that's where I think this is where the division is. So if you are Scott, who barely reads comics at all, has no real tie to any comic character,
yeah.
I think this is interesting. It is a fucking fantastic time to get into any DC title at this point because they are not. It's weird. So like each title is handling it how they feel like handling it. So Batgirl's coming out and Barbara Gordon's Batgirl again. And the Killing Joke, she gets shot through the spine, can't walk anymore and becomes Oracle.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Who's one of Batman's assistants, computer hacker. In this new Batgirl storyline, from what I've seen from the previews, she still gets shot in the Killing Joke, but she survives it and is like a different person for it. So like the event still happened, but they changed. It's just like, it's like, well, what if she could walk after the, you know, what happens if she could still walk? So there's some storylines doing that. And then there's storylines like this where, and I'll be honest with you, I can't see this kind of reintroduction going more than 2-3 books probably. And then they're going to be in full swing of, it felt like that. It felt like, sorry, I just pointed. It felt like Earth's Mightiest Heroes, the cartoon. It felt like, hey, you've never read this before. Here's how they all met this time, you know? But they're already all still superheroes. They're just now forming together.
Okay.
So it's weird. It's weird as a fan who knows all of these characters because I'm like, oh, great. I got to watch them meet each other again. But it's also interesting because like Green Lantern comes in and he's a jackass because he is. He's like an asshole. He like flies in and he's like, he goes into Gotham and helps Batman defeat somebody.
Yeah.
And they're like begrudgingly friends, essentially. And then he's like, hey, have you heard about this guy in Metropolis? And Batman's like, yeah, he's calling himself Superman or something. I don't know. This is a very horrible paraphrasing.
Yeah.
And Green Lantern goes, well, this is my district. Like, I'm supposed to know when aliens are on new planets. Like, that's his job.
Yeah, he's a space cop.
So he's like, he basically says, I got to go take care of this and flies Batman over to Metropolis to go get Superman, essentially. And then like humorously, like he's just like, he keeps making fun of Batman because he has no powers. So he's like, why don't you just hang back, little guy? You know, like, I'm sure we can use your batarang a little later. You know, like he's kind of like joking on him and making fun of him. And he's like, I'll go take care of this myself. And Batman's like, I don't really think you should. Maybe we should like look around real quick. And he's like, I don't need to be a detective, Batman. I'm just going to go handle this real quick. And he like walks in a building and then you just see this like red ray fly out of the building and Green Lantern just gets like blown out of the area. And
Superman comes out.
So it's like they're doing it and kind of, Geoff Johns is writing it with a sense of humor. You know, he's trying to make it a little more light, I think.
A little bit more modern. Yeah. I mean, that's great. I mean, the thing that not to spend too much time. Oh my God, dude, what the hell
English
is happening
today, man? Not to spend too much time on it, right?
But I really feel like for lifelong fans of a lot of these books, it's going to be hard to just forget everything that we've already learned. I love the idea. I love the idea of bringing new readers in, but it is, I don't know, it's a little jarring to believe that, you know, 60 years of history is gone. You know,
I will add that. I went with Matt to the comic book store to pick up this comic, and the guy at the comic book store was really excited.
Really?
Well, he's really excited.
Well, yeah,
but
I'm just saying the point that I'm making is that he said like in the day and a half that they had the book, like he's already seen like a change.
He basically said on a Wednesday release day, you know, they would do X amount of dollars, right? But that's with the full release of DC titles. I mean, that's like a full slate of books coming out. He said on this Wednesday, they only had 2 DC books and they still did the exact same amount that they would do on a full release day with 10, 20 books.
That's good.
So the strategy...
Batgirl is already out of print, already sold and out of print, and it's not out yet.
Really?
Yeah, it's already... They basically have said, hey, all the comic book shops have already reserved every single print that we're making.
Do you know who's drawing Batgirl?
I don't know who's drawing it, it's being written by Gail Simone, who is an awesome writer, and everybody was super excited that she was taking over the title and keeping it.
Good.
And then it's the art is by, and you're gonna have to forgive me because I'm not super familiar with these guys, but the art is by Ardian Sayaf and Vicente Cifuentes, and the covers are all being done by Adam Hughes, who's an awesome artist. Batgirl's exciting. I'm actually, the two books that I'm most excited about, and the reason being I never read either one of these, and they both were characters that always seemed kind of interesting to me, are Swamp Thing and Animal Man, which are kind of DC's horror titles. They're a little different for DC, but they're books that like were so, Alan Moore has a huge run on Swamp Thing that everybody says you have to read, but the problem is I never did, and it's like it's impossible to try to get in on anything when that much history does exist. So it's interesting to me to be able to do this. I don't know. I mean, like you said, it's jarring, yes. But to be dead honest with you, like, I think the Wii was jarring when it came out for gaming and everybody was like, fuck the Wii, it's not hardcore and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
but
no,
you know what?
Yeah.
Hardcore people don't carry an industry. They make it better, but they don't carry it.
You're right. No, I'm tempted to get back on and start reading some books again because I've never been a DC guy. I've always been a Marvel guy just because, I mean, I love the DC characters, but I always felt that I had way too much to catch up on.
Yeah, I mean, so there's huge back titles. So there's a lot of them. I actually wrote the article. If you check that out, I listed the books that I'm gonna that I already have reserved. So those are the ones I'm getting.
Okay.
Check it out, though. It's interesting. I think it's Justice League number one was fun. So if you don't have it and you want to get in on a new title, I think there couldn't be a better team on Justice League as far as Geoff Johns and Jim Lee goes. So,
awesome.
You know, check it out.
Good deal.
The last little I'm gonna fly through these reviews really quick because they're total like old things that I did. I've been finding myself this summer catching up on a lot of things that I missed for whatever reason over the past year.
Mm-hmm.
Movies and games.
That's what summertime is for.
Yeah, I've just been like, oh, I'm gonna fuck it. I'm gonna watch a new movie. Or I'm gonna watch a game. I got Captain America Super Soldier for the 360 at the Redbox.
Yeah.
That game is so much fucking fun. It is unbelievable how much fun that game is.
Awesome. I've been hearing that.
Pleasantly surprised.
Pleasantly surprised. It's only $30 on Amazon right now, or you can Redbox it or Gamefly it or whatever you want to do. The combat is super fluid. I would compare it to God of War.
Okay.
In the fact that it's kind of button mashy a little bit. Like you're using the X does a hit and B will do like, I think B does a like a counter, Y will do a block, and then A will roll. Like,
okay.
But the way they did the motion in the combat, like you can run into a group of 10 guys and start like jumping over top. You'll like roll over top of them and then hit them in the back with your shield and then like run over and hit the next guy in the face. Like you're just constantly in motion. Like your guy just never, Captain America, it's not like punch, 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 down. Punch, 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 down. Like it's like you can take on 12 guys at the same time and
awesome.
Do all this different combat. The game looks gorgeous. They built it on the Havoc engine, I think.
So it exceeded your expectations as far as movie games are concerned.
Oh my God. Especially, I mean, think about the pedigree here. It's a movie game based on a comic book.
Yeah. Like, that is true.
It's a game based on a movie on a comic book. And it should be horrible, and it's not at all. And it is a ton of fun.
Yeah, the old X-Men Origins Wolverine game was actually a big surprise for me, too, which was, again...
I still want to play that.
It's great. It's really good. It's really
so
good.
The only thing that gets hokey in it, or bad in it, is the map, or the camera, little wonky at times. And then the boss fights get super repetitive.
Okay.
Like, the first three boss fights, you're like, this is awesome! And then the last boss fight, you actually fight four times.
Ah, joyous.
In four separate times.
But that sounds like typical God of War.
Anyway. And there's only one way to beat them. Like, you can't beat them any other way, and it's a super time-consuming way. Like, you can only... You basically have to, like charge up your super meter and then super fight them to actually do damage.
Yeah.
And then you have to charge your super meter back up and then super fight them to damage again. Like, so it's that kind of stuff. But if you haven't played Captain America, if you happen across it on Redbox or you get it on Gamefly or something, it's totally fun, completely worth it. It's about 15 hours, maybe 10.
It's a good weekend game.
10 to 15 hours of gameplay.
Cool.
And you'll love it. So that's my summer recap.
Summer of Netbox.
I just was so excited because I played and watched things that I enjoyed that I totally did not expect to play to enjoy at all.
That's always a win when you get an unexpected find like
indeed.
That.
So all right, well, we're gonna take one more quick break, just like 2 seconds, and then we'll come back and we'll do the Twitter questions.
Yeah.
And we'll go from there. ¶¶
right, and we are back.
I'm going to come back from every break like that now.
Oh, Shadow Stevens.
No one knows it, but I went in 3, 2. I did the one and
wait,
pointed.
What did you do? Yeah, okay.
The one and pointed.
I was scared there for a second.
One and point. All right, so the Twitter question this week was one I really liked.
Thanks. We thought of it together.
Kind of. You thought of it, and then I just told you, no, I don't want to do just games.
Yeah,
but then
yeah.
The reality is the one that I have to revisit is a game. But the question was...
Some people said non-games, though, yeah. So it was good. It was a good response from the crowd.
The question was, if you could bring a franchise back, what would you bring?
Yeah. And which franchise really deserves to have a comeback?
Hmm. Why?
So let's read the responses. No, let's start off with one of us. How about that? And then we'll go into the Twitter stuff.
Uh-oh. All right.
So who wants to go? You guys want to go?
I will say mine.
All right. Let's do it.
Do it.
I'm surprised already.
Mine is a game that I have mentioned before that I think would be a ton of fun to have back. Not because it's deep and rich or that it's an amazing experience. I just think it was one of the most fun fighting games I ever played.
Man, I don't know. Tongue of the Fat Man.
Killer Instinct.
Killer Instinct. There you go.
That game was so much fun when I was a kid, man.
That's
like
awesome.
Playing it endlessly. What the hell system was it on?
It was on Nintendo 64.
And it was arcade was the big thing. Yeah.
We used to play in the arcade.
Ultra Combo.
It's just one of those games that I feel like if they did what Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter recently did and brought it back and just made it look cool, but kept that kind of like ridiculous combo system.
Yeah.
You know,
98 hit combo.
Yeah. Ridiculous combos with ridiculous outlandish fighters. Like I just had so much fun playing that game.
It was fun. It was good.
I think that would be a lot of fun to bring back.
But instead they're terrible. Making Kinect Sports season 2. So it's never going to happen. Sorry, Rare.
Yeah. I was going to say it wasn't that rare, but it was rare. All right. So let's jump into our Twitter. We have a gentleman by the name of True American M21. Let's try and say it as words. True American 21. Yeah, it was good. We did that pretty well.
Yeah, we should read things together.
Okay.
Ready?
I'm not going to do that. Sorry to spoil your dreams.
I agree with this guy, though, on both of his games.
So he said, I'd like to see Road Rash remade.
Hell yeah.
Which I've heard rumors is being done right now. So
it's going to be horrible.
You think so?
Yes.
And his other game that he wants to see come back was Hunter the Reckoning, which I actually played quite a lot of on
Did
the Xbox.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a World of Darkness game, sir.
Yeah, I played some Hunter, actually.
I have the game on disc, but I don't know that I've ever played it.
You never played it? It was fun.
It was good. It was like a twin stick shooter for the original Xbox.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. It got really challenging near the end.
It's super challenging. You could pick like a couple different archetypes of characters that you could play.
It was
as.
Good. Good little shooter. I like games like that. So I agree with you, True American.
I think Road Rash is going to be bad just because I think, and this might go the same for Killer Instinct. I think I remember that game better than the reality of that game.
That happens often.
Because you're on a motorcycle and you got weapons and you hit people. And
oh, man.
Raced, right? Is that Road Rash?
I had forgotten what it was, to be perfectly honest. And now I remember you had the chain and you were on a motorcycle.
Yeah, that's totally what it is.
Kinda
you
like
had a chain and you had like enemies that would ride up next to you. You knock them off their bikes and then keep riding.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called Grand Theft Auto 4 Lost in the Damn DLC. That's Road Rash.
Didn't they try to remake that other arcade game that was popular then where you were in the car and you rolled off the back of
Spy
the truck?
Spy Hunter?
Yeah.
I loved fucking Spy Hunter.
But then
Hunter,
they tried to remake that
it
too.
It wasn't very good.
Yeah, see, same problem.
Well, because the problem is they're going to take a very simple concept and they're going
to
throw a lot of new
try
things
to put
into
some
it.
Narrative
and it's
on
just,
it
it's just
going to
be like, what the hell? You were in a car with oil spill. Like, why are you freaking out about this? You know.
Yeah.
Anyways. So Justin Banks, Midtown 583, our buddy who comments a lot with us, which we like, who also commented that we were like his third tweet about epic beards or something after I put the podcast.
Really?
Excellent.
There you go.
He says, Mutant League Sports. I remember playing the games growing up and having a blast fighting with different players.
Do you guys remember Mutant League?
I never played.
Did you remember Mutant League Football? I don't know if that's the one he's talking about. It's the only one I've played, but Mutant League Football.
I think I've seen. I think was I have played it.
Awesome.
It was for the
Genesis.
Was it?
Yeah, it was for the Genesis, and it was freaking amazing. It was you could basically.
Oh.
You remember that? Yeah. And like,
I played this.
There's like the skeleton guys versus like the orc guys, and had like,
I rented this from Blockbuster.
Oh, it was so good. Mutant League Football. Just the sound effects alone. Oh, it was brilliant.
That game was good.
And seeing then that in 3D would be like pretty awesome.
Powers too.
Yeah. I think each player had like, they all had different names and different skills. It was like, you know, they really tried to take football and make it just ridiculous and kind of infused with science fiction. So that was the only football game I've actually ever played. I'm not going to lie. I've never played another game, so just Mutant League.
They apparently also put out Mutant League Hockey.
Ah.
And there was a basketball game in development that never saw light.
Damn it. Bring back Mutant League Basketball. That would be great. So, yeah, Justin, I agree with you, buddy. Mutant League Football was where it was at.
At Miss Vulture says...
Mrs. She's married.
Oh, sorry. This is Command of the English Language Edition.
Yeah.
Says Firefly, of course, which I think we would all agree with. A lot of people would agree with.
Ain't never going to happen. Vox owns that shit, and they're not going
to
let it go.
Oh, man. I'd love to see Firefly come back.
And then she also says, I think the old KOTOR games need a high-res remake, and I would also agree with that.
So along the lines of Vico and Shadow of the Colossus, like just re-released with better skins?
Yeah, because you can get those games on Steam, but I don't think... The first
I believe
one
I saw Ash playing it.
Yeah.
I don't think the first one was a turd. Yeah. The first one was not intended to run on anything greater than like 600x800. No. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It's rough.
I remember Ash was like, I'm gonna retry KOTOR. He started playing. He was like, what the hell?
It was like I played for 10 minutes and I just couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
I agree. It'd be cool to see those, but I think Mrs. Vulture is probably gonna enjoy. The Old Republic.
SWTOR
over KOTOR, because she's going to get that same Star Wars experience, a lot of the same characters, and a lot of the same fun stuff as she did before.
How about at Cymot101 says, I've never played this, Jet Force Gemini, last seen on the N64.
Yes. Remember, it's a game about jetpacks.
Amazing, with Borderlands-esque graphics and a solid physics engine.
I did play some of... Jet Force Gemini, and it was sort of like, I don't know, it was like a third, like a over the shoulder shooter with action elements, if I remember correctly. And I mean, it's N64 graphics, but the game itself was pretty solid, and especially the content. It was just cool. It was a fun game to play.
So Scott,
mine,
yeah. Uh-oh. Let's do this.
I
would like to see a remake of Ship, because I really liked the solving the mysteries on the ship.
did I say that?
I'm just fucking with you, man.
That's what
I think we should each do a movie and a game, by the way. So think now, but we'll each do one of them first.
It's going to be hard. Go
ahead. Oh, really? I actually had a game and then a game concept.
Okay.
So my game, I think I said this for Desert Island last week too, but my game is still No One Lives Forever.
Oh, awesome.
Just because it's...
You love sense of humor.
It's pretty much like an Austin Powers like spy game that had good shooter elements and good like stealth action.
But you seem to get into games that don't take themselves too seriously sometimes too.
Yeah, I do, and I think that's why I'm such a fan of like the Double Fine games. And I mean, you could probably make a case for Psychonauts.
What was Time Cop? No, that's the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, right?
Yeah.
What was the...
Oh, Time Splitters.
Yeah, you love that too.
Yeah, I mean, there was a story, I think maybe like a month or two ago, that... that company, whose name I can't remember, Free Radical, has like dev kits of early Xbox, like the next Xbox hardware.
And
they're going to make a Time Splitters game for it.
Nice.
And that would be phenomenal. Because even that, I mean, those are the guys that did some of the crew from the original GoldenEye.
Yeah.
So it's got like awesome shooter elements and like a good sense of humor.
So No One Lives Forever is your game?
Yeah. Should I do my game concept?
No, we'll
or
come
save
back
it for later. Okay, cool. Let's
go
through
these.
Back to the Twitter.
All right.
Back to the Twitter wall. That golden Twitter wall we have.
Let's go to this one-y guy. This one-y guy. He Guitar Hero. Sad sounds. Yeah. Guitar Hero is gone. I'm sorry, this one-y guy. I kind of disagree with you. I'm kind of glad Guitar Hero is gone. I'm sorry. I think Rock Band's always been our favorite rhythm, or at least mine. Favorite rhythm band company.
Ours, right?
Yeah,
Scott,
I would venture to say
on the Rock Band camp.
I am. There's only one thing in Guitar Hero that I wish Rock Band had, and that was that
Lars Umlaut.
Open. Yeah, I was just gonna say, heyo.
Sorry.
Open bass notes drumming, and that's it.
Yeah, that was drumming.
No.
Bass notes strumming.
Yes.
I thought you said drumming.
No.
I was like, open bass notes drumming? What is that?
Yeah.
Just because it felt natural to have
Yeah, like, I agree.
Open note.
I agree. When I did play that, I was like, oh, that makes sense. But isn't that in Rock Band 3?
I don't think they have open notes in Rock Band.
Mm.
Open note strums.
I don't know.
So anyways, that's it.
So yeah, I'm sorry for the folks that worked on Guitar Hero, but I'm kind of glad that it got way oversaturated, and I didn't really like what they did with musicians' likenesses. I didn't think that was a good step to take. Like, I thought playing as Kurt Cobain was in poor taste.
Yeah,
and I think Rock Band does a better job of making it more of like a party, like collaborative game.
Yeah,
like
I agree.
In terms of the gameplay elements and the UI and stuff. So.
Feels a little bit more legitimate. I don't know why,
yeah.
But there's something about it.
So, at Brian L. M. Diesel. I hope that's his real name. Brian Diesel.
His real name is, should we say
no.
it? Because it's right there.
I'm leaving
okay.
it.
Okay.
He does have an awesome Twitter icon, though. He says, I think the Predator and Alien movies both deserve comebacks, not crammed together like the horrible Freddy v. Jason. But Predator has had a comeback. And Alien's about to.
Wasn't
yes.
there an Alien v. Predator as well?
Well, yeah, there
was.
Not good.
There
I think
was.
He's referring to that
yeah.
those weren't good.
Right.
But Predator had Predators.
Mm-hmm.
And
which
Alien,
was sort of a comeback.
An Alien is, unless he means literally revisiting the original Predator,
yeah, yeah.
maybe he means that. But and then Alien's getting the prequel from, which I think should hopefully pacify a lot of Alien
I
fans.
I hope so. Ridley
it's
Scott.
Getting, it's getting really good buzz and seems like it's...
Yeah,
really
I agree. Those are great...
What's it called? Prometheus.
Yeah, it is. Amazing franchises. I think all of us here are fans of those. And anything that comes out of them that is excellent and new, I think is going to be phenomenal. So
yeah,
I'm all for it.
So our buddy Axel99 replied.
Yeah, Jesse Lamb, awesome artist, at Axel99. Xenogears.
She put too many in.
This is a lot, and I told her as soon as she wrote these, she said Xenogears, ZOE, Snatcher, The Longest Journey, and Broken Sword, and I was like, Jesse, I haven't played any of these. I have no idea what these are.
Well, Xenogears is an old. These are all Japanese, I think, aren't they? Xenogears is a weird action RPG, I believe. If I remember correctly, my voice is gonna go up.
Yeah, I think it is too.
And then Zone of Enders is.
Oh, that's what Zone of Enders is. I have played that.
You played Zone of Enders?
Yeah,
okay.
I have. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a Squaresoft game.
It's a Square game.
Yeah. Giant robots fighting.
Yes. Snatcher, I have not played. I don't know what Snatcher is. Scott, are you looking these up while we're talking?
No, I'm looking at The Longest Journey just to jog my memory.
What is it?
If I remember correctly, The Longest Journey is one of those sort of point and click pseudo 3D adventure games.
Okay.
Puzzler kind of games that were popular on the PC. Like
yeah.
In the way back. And I think that was one of like the cream of the crop of those types of games.
Awesome.
Is also what Broken Sword is.
Awesome.
Point and click.
So she's an adventure game fan, which is cool. And I agree. Zone of Enders was a lot of fun. I never beat it. That was back in the day in like the late 90s.
Zone of Enders was brutal.
Yeah, where games were like freaking unbeatable. Yeah. I don't know. There was like a time, especially Japanese games, where it was just like, what is happening? But I love the art design.
Xenogears is another Squaresoft. The same thing.
Okay.
It was like Japanese near unbeatable games.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. PlayStation. It was huge. It's got a huge following.
Xenogears.
Yeah.
I think, didn't they just release one for the Wii, but only in Europe?
No, really?
Everyone has to import now.
I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be
surprised.
Well,
there's a couple other Xeno games. I don't know if they're all related. But
it might not be that one, but I think there is one.
Yeah.
All right.
Somebody else want to do...
Ash.
Did you do any of yours yet?
I haven't done mine. My game is going to be, and I talked to Scott about this briefly. I don't know if anybody remembers an old game by a company called Accolade called Star Control.
I remember Accolade.
Star Control, like when I was a kid... Okay, so let me explain the premise to you real quick, and you explain to me what the hell you think I'm talking about. Okay, so there is a human, right, and it's this human's job to gather ships and representatives from a variety of different alien species all over the galaxy in order to defend the galaxy from this giant sweeping threat who is on the verge of eliminating all life in the entire galaxy. And as a human, it is your job to get everyone together and fight against this evil.
Name this game.
Yeah. And if you don't know, it's
Mass
cool.
Effect?
Yeah, exactly. So, Star Control, I'm really convinced that...
I didn't know you were asking me. Sorry.
Yeah,
I was pausing for
but
a second.
But Star Control, Star Control started out as like a strategy kind of arcadey game.
where you actually you had like asteroid style combat with different types of starships, and it was a PC game. And so the different ships would have like different ability sets, and it was really fun. Like one had a self-destruct, one could teleport, one had like homing lasers, and you could basically fight with all these different ship types against one another or against a friend on computer. Awesome. Star Control 2 had a really, really rich narrative where you'd actually have to fly around the galaxy, mine different planets.
Was there voice acting?
No, but there were there were dialogue trees.
There
are dialogue trees. So you'd actually have to like negotiate with different alien species.
We actually love BioWare. We love Accolade.
Dude, Star Control 2 was so fucking good. Star Control 3 was voice acted. But
don't
they
say it to me like that.
It was voice acted, but they used like fucking Muppets and stuff, and it was all live action, and
of
it
course.
Was
yes,
yeah, and
action.
It was in the
that
age of like
a comeback.
Live
yeah.
act. It was like in the age of live. So Star Control was genius, and it was so so good, and like you basically as you flew through the galaxy and you gained the respect of these different alien races, they'd give you like one ship. Like we are going to like for instance, one of the races was like the Shofixie. And the Shofixie had like a really fast scout ship, but they'd give you like one. They're like, all right, we are going to go with you into battle, but you get one Shofixie ship. If you lose that ship for like the entire game, that's the only one you get. Like you can't get any more. So it was like really unforgiving. Star Control was badass.
The tagline to Star Control 3 is the fate of a thousand worlds is in your hands again.
See what I mean? It's like, dude, I'm telling you, awesome. Like Casey Hudson, I love you, man, but I think you played a little bit of Star Control.
All right, so we got two more here. We've got at Incognito 965.
Oh, no, you skipped one above. Oh no,
she didn't. Amy didn't.
My bad.
Amy didn't submit to that.
Continue, sir.
Incognito 965 says movie The Godfather.
Interesting.
And game Toy Story 2 for N64.
Interesting.
Wants it as an Xbox Live Arcade.
I don't know that I've ever. I'm not sure.
You're the Nintendo guy. Did you play Toy Story 2?
I don't remember if I played some of that one or the first one.
Yeah.
I don't know. But maybe it's one of those movie games like you find a Captain America and you're like, wow, this is actually...
like, actually good.
I heard yeah. Toy Story 3 was supposed to be pretty awesome.
The game?
Yeah.
The movie made me cry like a baby.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. But I heard the Toy Story 3 game was actually really, really good. It was like kind of sandbox play. Like, you could play with all the toys and they all had different abilities and stuff.
So The Godfather, the movie, bring that back.
I never played it.
No, I think he meant the movie, not the game.
Oh, movie, The Godfather. Oh, I see.
Movie, The Godfather.
Godfather.
Game,
Toy Story 2. Oh, I see. Okay, gotcha.
The Godfather game was okay.
Was
I never
it?
Got all the way through. I played it on PlayStation 2.
Oh, nice.
And I just was like, it was all right. It wasn't great. It wasn't horrible. You could tell they were just trying to get Grand Theft Auto fans to play.
Oh, there you go.
But the movie, that'd be weird to bring that back now.
It would be.
That's kind of been finalized. For the most part,
yeah. it'd be interesting to see a modern spin on it.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
you know, it'd be like The Wire.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, The Godfather.
And then Mark Plays Games says, "I like how you put a answer."
Yeah, it's awesome.
I'm gonna read this as if he's what's his name from The Office?
I think it's because we said.
Q.
Here's the Q, and we'll read your A.
I was trying to fit it really bad. I was like, how do I fit all this shit?
A, Faceball 2000 from the Game Boy. It was horrible, but I loved it. First FPS I ever encountered.
I think I played this one on Super Nintendo, and it is terrible.
I had it for the Game Boy, man. I had Faceball 2000, and he's right. It was like the first shooter. It was like really, really basic 3D, and like you played a ball that shot like a giant like fucking chicken nugget.
Yes.
And that was like, it wasn't even a gun. There was like no gun animation. It was like you shot a fucking beach ball out of your mouth and that was it. But it was fun because you could like stalk through these like tunnels and like try and, it was kind of oddly strategic for a game, black and white Game Boy game, like
yeah.
old school
oh, yeah.
Game Boy game. But I played the hell out of that too. So Mark Plays Games, I'm with you there, man.
It's wild.
I don't know. I don't know if today's modern age Faceball would fly too far.
Faceball 2000.
Yeah, Faceball 2000.
11 years
ago.
Oh,
see, they could just do
it. No. And this was pre 2000,
yeah,
so
know,
that was like
saying.
That was like the future.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
totally
now
ironic.
It's the past.
Yeah.
We actually do have a bunch more that are not in the article.
Okay, so cool.
Let's go around the loop again. Have you guys thought of a movie, or do we need to keep going?
Let's keep going because right. I haven't thought of a movie yet.
All right. A lot of these are from people we actually know. Ooh. Haley Schmaley.
Oh yeah.
Who went to Comic-Con with Ash and Chrissy? Put another vote in for Firefly.
Aha.
Which is, like I said, never coming back.
It is what it is.
What, maybe one day.
Gonna love saying this name. Imp Slave. At Imp Slave. Says, I would love to see the return of Grim Fandango.
Ah,
heyo.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they've...
this is our Ed McMahon. Heyo!
On Steam, there have been a lot of LucasArts remakes. And then, you know, like the classic Sierra games have been getting like fan remakes. And yeah. That's one that hasn't gotten any attention. And I wonder why.
Yeah, I don't know. Because they've brought back
Monkey Island.
Monkey Island. And they brought back.
And then they did like some updated releases of Loom and the Indiana Jones and the Dig, if I remember correctly.
Yes, all of those. They all came out as a Steam pack, I think, too.
Yep.
Dr. Gar, our buddy MD Gar, Dr. Gar, said Ghostbusters.
Oh.
Here's the thing, though. He's talking about the game.
Ah.
Because he said, although there was a 360 title recently, it didn't get the credit it deserved, and it's in my play pile, actually, right now. Way better than shitty Batman. Smiley face.
Ooh, he's one of the people that did Arkham Asylum.
He did it.
That game is really funny because it was, you know, because the primary players are associated with it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know that you could say it needs a remake because.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of came out. So I'm gonna call Dr. Gar an idiot.
Oh, ouch!
Are you gonna call shenanigans on that one?
Ouch.
The game is good.
And we've got one more from our buddy Beast Mode.
Ah, yes.
He says, "Revive Double Dragon. I just want a game where I can walk around and beat people up."
Nice, nice.
Double Dragon was. I played it on the Genesis.
I would love to see a modern brawler.
Are there any brawlers out right now like that?
Well, I mean, they've all become very, they've become very God of War, which is, you know, it's better. But like Bayonetta, God of War, they're all very skill-based.
What about co-op, you know, like the two?
Oh, no.
Yeah. That was pretty original for the time, wasn't it? Like a two-person, Streets of Rage and all that kind of stuff.
I'm saying like Final Fight and Double Dragon, those games shined because they were co-op.
Same screen, everything. Yeah.
And that's what made them.
I don't know if that formula would work too much anymore.
I mean, there's like, I guess Turtles in Time is sort of like that. You know?
Yeah.
Or like,
I think Squaresoft tried to do that.
Well, Turtles in Time.
A little while ago, and it didn't
work.
It
was just an arcade game remade. That's from the 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, what would a new Double Dragon look like now? Like, would it be first person or third person?
If you took those actual pixel models and just blew them up into like high def people now,
yeah, so ridiculous.
The big guy who's made out of shapes.
What were those guys called? Mongoloids or something? The big
Abobos.
Abobos.
Adobidos. Yeah.
I could never say that as a kid.
Yeah.
I would call my friends that when they made me mad. Go away, you a bobo! Like, what? Why did I do that?
So
he did kind of look special.
Let's do our final round of movies here. And here's why I think movies are hard and why I wanted to include it in the question.
Yeah.
Because games, I feel like, move forward as generations go on and time goes on. Movies, especially when they're classics, are kind of classics. It's hard to really redo a movie in a way that makes it better. I will take Star Wars as the example and say, you know, there's a classic trilogy, gets redone in like modern times essentially, and isn't as good.
Yeah, yeah.
So if there maybe it's the chance to take a movie that you thought should have been awesome and you could have made it better if it got made today.
Yeah.
What would it be?
I think I'm gonna go with a little film called The Warriors. I don't know if you guys have seen The Warriors, but is a classic film from, I want to say, the late 70s or early 80s. It involves a variety of very unique gangs and a gang war that's happening in New York City. And stylistically, it is awesome because the gangs are all so incredibly unique. You have like the Rogues, which are like knife fighters, really dark, and you have like the Baseball Furies, and it's almost like a comic book, the way that the Warriors is set up and the way that it's shot. A lot of really unique dark colors. And
there was a game, right?
There was a game. Rockstar actually redid the Warriors a few years ago. I would like to see a remake in modern times with modern gangs and just have it be incredibly.
Not 80s.
Yeah.
New York gangs.
Yeah, not 80s New York gangs. The modern, you know, if it had great actors and it had really unique styles for the different gangs, I think it could be awesome, you know, a lot of fun, put some great music in there and just have it be, you know, reimagining. Why not?
Cool. Awesome. Do you have one, sir?
Yeah, I actually did think of a movie. I think I've mentioned this before because I really do want this, and that is The Running Man.
Because if
you think about it, like, that movie was sort of almost predictive of, like, if you look at today, like, our culture is obsessed with reality television.
Yeah.
And it would only make sense to sort of, like, capitalize on that.
Yeah.
I think I've even...
Hasn't there been rumor about Running Man?
Yeah.
I also think you might like that Hunger Games that's coming out. It's the same concept, but it's a girl.
Oh.
It's like a teen
book. What is it called?
It's called Hunger Games.
Oh, okay.
It's supposed to be great.
I think I've cast some of this movie before.
Yeah.
And that's maybe you use like a modern person to fill the role of Arnold Schwarzenegger. So you take that cat from...
Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
they are twins.
But I was thinking it would be cool if Arnold Schwarzenegger made a cameo in the movie as the guy who comes out of retirement to fight. You know, and then you could take like Regis Philbin as the game show host or something like this.
Yeah.
And then I don't know who the main character would be, like, who's that guy who like shows up in all the action movies?
Jason Statham.
I guess it could be him. Yeah. Or The Rock or something like this.
Yeah. You definitely need a guy that can do his own action, though.
I would like to see that movie, like, still creepy, but with like updated visuals and like
that could be cool.
Content, that could be cool.
Cultural content.
They could get the little kid from Modern Family to be the Christmas tree guy.
Oh my god!
Hey, Christmas tree.
Yeah.
What was his name? Bright Light.
I don't know. I'll look it up while Matt is doing his.
Mine is from a movie, which I just looked up the year. From the very early 90s. Some might even say 1990.
Oh, my gosh.
Robot Jocks.
Oh, Robot Jocks. Yes. Isn't that coming out with Hugh Jackman?
No, that's Real Steel. That movie looks fucking stupid.
That has nothing. That's like not.
That is Rock'em Sock'em Robots made into a movie.
Correct.
Robot Jocks was all post-apocalyptic. Mech-based. And they were mech dudes. They were in the robots.
Yes.
And they were fighting each other for... I think they for like
love
the country or something. Oh. No, like I think that was like war had ended. It was like post-nuclear. So like to solve battles instead of doing war again to let it escalate, they had these robot jocks fight each other to make decisions. So like if Russia would fight like America and America would win and then they would get a territory or something.
I remember that movie. It was good stuff.
I loved that movie, man. I watched that movie endlessly.
Really?
We had HBO when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
So like I would end up watching movies just like because they were on HBO. And I think they played from like 1991 till 1994, they probably played Robot Jocks like 1.2 million times, and I watched it every single time.
It's a fantastic film.
Yeah, so that is my movie vote.
Dynamo was the guy that you were looking for.
Dynamo, yeah. I'm telling you, Dynamo should be played by the kid from Modern Family.
Fantastic.
Yeah, what's his name? Freddy something?
Do you want to throw your game concept in, Scott? You want to get your...
Yeah.
I feel like this is a grinds my gears probably.
Well, no,
ahead.
I was I was actually trying to think of something other than No One Lives Forever, and the other thing I thought of was The Secret of Mana.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Multiplayer RPG.
But I think what... I don't know if this was in this game or...
Which is going to be SWTOR, essentially.
If it was... I don't know if it was in this game, but I know it's in Chrono Trigger, but there needs to be a modern game that is a cooperative multiplayer game where the game allows you to cast spells like together as a team.
I agree.
That was Secret of Mana.
Oh, in both games they did that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there needs to be something where it's like you cast.
Because I remember we used to coordinate. We'd have to like talk to each other about
and
doing
time
it.
Out your spells. Yeah. And I think like we're overdue for something where it's like not only cooperative in the sense that we're all fighting as a team, but cooperative where like four players can cast a gigantic like massive spell and create carnage. So that's
awesome.
All right.
Well, that is rated an A35. Everybody.
Thanks for listening very much. You can follow us at @nerdappropriate. Or you can go to Facebook and like us if you look for Nerd Appropriate on Facebook.
And I think we are discussing this week, now that you're back, the new contest that I'm dying to do.
All right. Do this. Let's do it.
We can't call it what I want to call it, but that's okay.
All right.
I'll live. So, and we got new music now. We got Allie Gortz this episode. We got the stuff from something else in the next episode.
Yep.
So it'll be good. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll see you next week.
Adios.